Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Would you join me again today in welcoming this beautiful couple to this broadcast? Praise God. His name is...
What's his name?
Mark. I was introduced like that one time.
Yeah.
The guy really introduced me.
One of my best friends.
Our evening speech. Anyway, I won't go into that.
We are happy to be here.
And we were talking about earlier the in him, in whom, the scriptures that let us know who we are in Christ and who he is in us. Mm. Because he's in us as well as we're in him.
Yeah.
And when the revelation of that comes, the fact that you are a spirit being. Mm. And once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have become a new creature.
Yeah.
One translation says a new species of being.
Yeah.
You're born again. That's the truth.
Right.
Wow. Truth. It's an actual thing.
Yeah.
But what happened from the cross to the throne?
Yeah.
Because he is seated now.
Yeah.
The book of Hebrews tells the entire story.
Mm.
That's the reason you need to study that book.
Yeah.
Probably more than any other book in the Bible, because it is all there.
Yeah.
The blood of animals, the blood of Jesus seated at the right hand, and that blood cleansed all the heavenly utensils of worship.
Yeah. Wow.
And you find it then here in the book of Acts. Now, the blood of animals atoned. The sinless blood of Jesus remitted sin.
Right.
And remission of sin. And that's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, remission.
And to remit it is as if it never happened before.
Yeah.
And then one of the articles of our covenant is right over here, where we have the covenant right to come to him, and his blood cleanses us from all sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we repent of our sins and believe we receive that, because he's faithful and just to forgive us and, when we confess it.
Yeah, and cleanse us from all
unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Then you go down in the second chapter of 1 John, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah.
We have an attorney.
Yes.
That's pleading our case.
He never lost a case.
Yeah, no. Amen. But what happened from the cross to the throne? Now, Peter began to preach, and Peter standing up in the 14th second chapter of Acts, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and so forth. So now, they had just been all filled with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And the scripture says the tongues of fire set on them. Mm. I've seen pictures with this little thing here.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. That means he set on them. Fire himself.
Right.
Then it came out of their mouths, and I believe they actually saw it.
Wow.
It was such a manifestation. And because that's in the last Passover meal, that's what the Master promised them, the Spirit that's coming. But you go to Jerusalem, you don't do anything else until you receive it.
Wow.
Don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Wow.
Then, let's begin to read here, in the 24th verse of the second, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speak concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face.
Wow.
He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Now, but look at verse 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption.
Wow. Mm.
Come down to the 31st verse. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption.
Wow.
Now that's in the Apostles' Creed.
Sure, sure it is. Yeah.
And we need to get back to that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Now, I've had more people fuss with me over that.
Yeah.
All you have to do is read the book.
Just read it, yeah.
And you go back to that Apostles' Creed of what we believe.
Uh-huh.
Now, it uses the Holy Catholic Church, but the word Catholic just means universal. It's not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. It's talking about the universal, the whole body of Christ is what it's saying in the Apostles' Creed, that we believe he went to hell.
Yeah.
We believe he is the Son of God.
Yeah. You know, it says he descended to the lowest place.
Let's go back over the book of Ephesians again.
And then he ascended to the highest place.
And once we do this, now Jesus said, look at the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And greater works than these shall you do. Well, that's been, you know, debated and so forth, and not any of it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what happened to you happened to me on that.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept after that and kept after that. I wasn't satisfied with it. Mm-hmm. There's more than that.
Yeah.
So then, it's right here in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And you come down to the 12th verse, in whom we have boldness. Okay, we have boldness.
Yeah.
We ought to be bold.
Yeah.
That's spiritual boldness.
Yeah.
Not natural boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And access with confidence.
Amen.
By the faith of him.
Yeah.
Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father.
Mm.
I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are named after him.
Yeah. Whole family.
That he would grant you. Here we go.
Yeah.
Now we got a heavenly grant coming in, and I want to know what it is.
He would
grant you.
Amen.
According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, that's dunamis right there.
Yeah.
By his spirit in the inner man, that Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, understand, have insight to it, comprehend it.
Yeah.
I comprehend how to fly an airplane.
Yeah.
Anybody can ride in one.
Yeah.
But I have an advantage because I did what it took to get trained.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that. But I comprehend that. I comprehend the laws of lift.
Yeah, sure.
Had to.
Yeah.
And did it for a long time.
Yeah.
So, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know, gnosko, have an intimate relationship with the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Oh, my.
Here it is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us.
Yeah.
Jesus said, it's the Father within that does the works.
Yeah, yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
The greater works.
Yeah.
Exceeding abundantly.
Yeah.
Above.
Yeah.
All we can ask or think.
Uh-huh.
If I can ask it or think it, there's something else out there.
Something else,
God. That's what happened from the cross to the throne.
Wow.
Jesus sat down on that cross and he said, I finished it, family, take over.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You do it.
That's really a part of our identification with Christ.
Is.
So the word identification means to consider or treat as one and the same. So our identification with Christ simply means everything in the mind of God, everything God did in Christ, he did it for us, set to the credit of our account like we were there. We used to sing that song on Easter, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Sometimes it causes me to tremble. So Paul's revelation, Paul says, I was there. We were there. He says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said, I was there. We were there. Everything God did in Christ, he did it for us. So Arthur S. Waite said it this way in his translation of Paul's letters. Arthur S. Waite said, the key to the gospel is in the prepositions. He said, the English language was not constructed for a preposition to carry the kind of weight that the gospel calls upon it to carry. So the prepositions break down under the weight and go almost unnoticed. So he said, little words like for, with, in, through, and by are the key to the gospel. Mm-hmm. That means everything mm-hmm. Jesus did, he did it for us. In our behalf. I mean, you take Hebrews 9:12, where it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. And verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So what Jesus did in our behalf as our substitute, the preposition for, he did it for us. He redeemed us from the curse. He was made a curse for us. Romans 4:25 says that he was delivered up because of our sins and was raised for our justification.
Boy, I tell you, that's
man,
cool.
That means he was not raised from the dead until you were declared not guilty and you were declared righteous.
Absolutely.
So what happened from the cross to the throne? Now, because he did it in our behalf, we were with him, that we were crucified with him. We died with him. We're buried with him. We're made alive with him. We're raised up together with him, seated together with him. And now in preposition, we are now in him.
We are now in him and he's in us.
Joined to him, one with him.
Our spiritual DNA that counts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're his offspring.
Yeah. Interesting because, you know, our grandson had leukemia.
Yes.
Dylan.
Yes.
3 years they, did treatments and stuff. And they said, no, we're going to have to do a bone marrow transplant, which would be a stem cell transplant. Mm-hmm. So for that to happen, they had to find a donor that would match Dylan. So they found his three older brothers, and then they picked one of them who was Gavin. They said, you're going to be the donor. Now, Gavin was not that happy about that. Because they're going to take his blood for 4 days, and then they're going to take his stem cells, and then they're going to engraft Gavin's stem cells into Dylan.
Now, that's what I was talking about yesterday's broadcast.
Oh, wow.
You actually experienced
mm-hmm. yes.
a blood transfer.
From Gavin, his
from
older brother,
to
Dylan.
Yes.
And they said, when mm-hmm. this happens, they said, Dylan, it will change his DNA. So much so that if Gavin committed a crime, Dylan could be convicted for it because they have the same DNA. And so much so that they said, Dylan, from this day forward, you'll have two birthdays. Because when this stem cells from Gavin are engrafted into Dylan, you'll be a different person. And so when that happened, then Gavin's stem cells went into Dylan and they watched his blood for the next 3 months. And here's what they said. They said, now, 3 weeks later, you're 50% Dylan, 50% Gavin. 3 months later, you're 75%. 3 months later, they said, now Dylan is 100% Gavin. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's nothing left of what he used to be. So imagine when you make Jesus your Lord.
I'll tell you, first time I heard them tell that, I just couldn't sit down. I mean, it put me on my feet.
So when you make Jesus your Lord, imagine who your donor is.
Yeah.
You got the blood of Jesus engrafted into you, which makes you a new creature in Christ.
It is that real.
Yeah, and changes your identity.
And the scripture says we've been circumcised of the heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm completely convinced because of all of the rest of the scriptures and so forth. I'm convinced the devil can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He can see that cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can see it.
Yeah.
In the spirit, he can see the cut.
Yeah.
We carry a mark on our spirit, man.
Yeah. In Christ means you're engrafted
into
Christ.
Yes, it does.
And so actually the word engrafted, there is no grafting without wounding. In other words, the stock is cut, the branch is cut, inserted together. And so what happened
in
Christ...
It's an identical cut.
Yeah, it's identical cut. They must have identical cut and engrafted together. So when Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yeah. So when he was wounded, we were engrafted into him so that we have the same identical death and the same identical resurrection and same identical life. That is our identification and our union with Christ.
Praise God.
Are now in him, in Christ, which you transliterated it. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's the anointed
one. It's the anointed one.
And so when you are now in Christ, there's 35 of those scriptures in Christ, then now you're engrafted into the anointed one and his anointing. So every touch of the anointing breaks every previous identity that you may have.
Yes,
every touch of the anointing connects you to who you are in Christ. Every touch of that anointing.
Well, now, hey, go to the fourth chapter of Luke.
All right. All right, you're going to go to Luke chapter 4. I'm glad we're going to Luke chapter 4.
That's the anointing.
There it is right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here are all of the specific anointings that are available to us.
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
He has anointed me. Now, let's put this over in our terminology. So, he has christened me.
Yeah.
I can see that.
See, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has anointed me to preach.
Yeah.
Most Christians don't know he's a preacher. They just think he kind of walked around and healed somebody and it's all passed away anyway.
Yeah.
And so, he's anointed me to preach. To preach what, Jesus?
Yeah.
The good news to the poor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives.
Yeah.
And preach recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that's supernatural debt cancellation and a great jubilee.
Yeah, jubilee.
So there's the gospel right there.
Yeah, now here's what happened to me when I was praying the Ephesians 1 prayer. I'm asking spirit of wisdom, revelation, eyes of understanding, that I may know what God did in Christ, what the power that raised Christ from the dead, so I can see it. So what happened, I was reading Luke chapter 4, verse 18, but I read verse 17. Mm-hmm. And it said, Jesus comes into the temple, opens the book of Isaiah, found the place where it was written.
61st.
He found the place where it was written.
So he found himself in the word that's in the book, too.
So that's what I saw. I said, Jesus found himself in Isaiah 61. So today, you and I as believers, we should be able to go through Ephesians and say, that's me right there. I've been made alive with Christ.
Yes, sir.
Find yourself in the Word, and you find your identity in the Scripture, and Jesus literally found himself, and then he declared it.
And I'm sitting in a place of...
And that's where I'm seated.
High authority.
Wow. Wow. He declared, actually, if you'll study the four Gospels, Jesus was constantly declaring his identity. I am, I am, I am. And he would declare his identity and his destiny. Yes. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you must find your new creation identity, who you are in Christ, your identification with Christ, and declare your new identity. And then that will determine your destiny. So your identification must be said and declared. That's your confession.
And spend time listening. Listening. I learned it a long time ago, but Gloria put it in the Word. You haven't prayed yet till you listen.
Yeah, it's true.
I heard Brother Hagin say that.
Yeah.
Do a little more listening than you do anything else.
Yeah.
And, I tell you, it's another thing struck me one day. I was just almost overwhelmed with the authority and so forth. And I just fell over on my knees. I can see it in my mind now, and it kind of all over me. My God. My God, I'm yours to command.
Wow.
Your will and my will are one.
Yeah.
I make my will subordinate to yours.
Yeah.
I'm yours to fight your battles.
Yeah.
And to win.
Yeah.
I'm yours to command.
Yeah.
And and if this... But this book has just come alive to me. And this one's worn out, but you've heard me tell this before. I was in the book of Hebrews. In fact, I was I'll find it here in a minute. Right here with David Barton. He said, where do you get a white highlighter?
Everything is highlighted in
here. I said, only highlight the good stuff. But when you get into here, particularly this 10th chapter, it was necessary that the patterns of the things of heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
Yeah.
The heavenly utensils of worship had to be cleansed with his blood.
Yeah.
And when he said to Mary, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father, your Father. Now you go tell.
Yeah.
So then he went into heaven.
Yeah.
Now, put this through into your mind. The one thief. Lord, remember me. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, once each one of them left their bodies, the body's still hanging there. Each one of them left their bodies. Paradise was the upper region of Sheol where the first covenant saints in the bosom of Abraham.
Sure.
Jesus taught about that. We're out of time.
Oh.
But they went through there. He stopped off at the bosom of Abraham, and then he watched Jesus in hell defeat the devil himself. He was one of them. Don't you know David throwing a fit? They watched it. They watched it, and he led captivity captive.
Oh, he spoiled principalities and powers.
Made it show.
Showed them openly.
Brother. Set us free.
Mercy, we'll be back in a few minutes to hear something, however long it is.
Let it show them
openly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo!
Identity is an important topic. How you identify influences how you see and present yourself, the people you surround yourself with, and how you approach each day. As a believer, your identity can only be found in Christ Jesus. Understand how Jesus embraced the human condition so you could live in him as he lives in you. In this book, The Power of Identification with Christ by Mark Hankins. Mark draws from over 50 years of pastoral and traveling ministry experience to answer the questions of what, why, and how on the topic of your identity in Christ. Finding this identity is a choice, and here you will be given the tools on how to make that choice. Do not allow your supernatural identity to be lost or stolen. God identifies you with Christ, and his death, burial, and resurrection opens up who you are. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened to you. The same life, victory, joy, and blessing in Christ are now in you, and this changes everything. Order The Power of Identification with Christ for £11. Outside the UK, call for postage. You'll receive the Ephesians 1 Prayer Scripture Card free with purchase or free by request. Go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. God has given us a supernatural identity through Christ that we might live in him and he might live in us. Offer good for 30 days.
This is a subtle hint. You need this. I mean it. It's the power of identification with the Anointed One.
Yeah, right. Mm.
Because his anointing is in you.
Wow.
If you're a Christian.
Yeah, Christ person, yeah.
Wow.
That's what Christmas is, yeah. A celebration of the anointing.
Hmm. Wow.
Christ Mass.
Yeah.
And that just blows by people. But it is a celebration of the anointing.
Yeah. The Anointed One. Yeah.
Of course, his birth.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening today. Glory to God. Hello. It's very important for every believer to know these things.
Yeah.
So don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. Mm. And until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Mark and Trina.
Hankins.
Happy. Oh, that's right.
Happy.
Happy Hankins. That's good. I'm going to remember that. Amen. Are we thrilled or not?
We are.
I'm kind of speechless. It's just, anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this. God loves you. We love you.
We love you.
And here's the big thing.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.